I've really been thinking about leadership this week. You know, as we've been doing this Four Pillars of Prosperity series, the first pillar is vision. And we know in Unity the kind of world we envision, right? The kind of world that works for everyone. The kind of world where we lead with our hearts, right? We connect with our hearts. We come from that place. And I had some stellar examples of leadership this week when I got to meet with our new CEO, Jim Blake, at Unity headquarters, Unity Village near Kansas City, and the vice president, new vice president of Silent Unity, Linda Martella-Witsit. They wanted to come to our center. They were here to, you know, host a reception for area ministries, but then they came specifically to our church. And they came with a development officer, and I really didn't know why they wanted to come, or, you know, there wasn't any particular agenda set out. But I thought, well, a development officer is coming. Maybe they want to talk to us about giving. And it was completely different than that. We had this really rich conversation in which we shared vision and ideas, and it was inspiring, and I think it was a give and a receive kind of experience, you know? It was that law of circulation in action. And so when we lead with our hearts, we bring forth a generosity, and that's what was really modeled for me by our new CEO, Jim. One of his visions at Unity Village, where we once had about 1,800 acres, we still have a lot of acreage there at the headquarters if you've not been before. And one of the ways he wants to use that space and acreage, as the motels are kind of falling into disrepair, he has this idea, instead of just mowing those motels down, let's renovate them and let's invite veterans to come and to be artists in residence. And then let's give them all kinds of therapy. Equestrian therapy, and other kinds of therapy. This is the kind of vision that we have at the head of Unity now. And it moves me and inspires me and excites me. I don't know if that particular vision will come to fruition, but he has all kinds of ideas about ways we can partner with like-minded organizations to give of the gifts that we have to give. He's all about servant leadership, being of service, as is Linda, our new Vice President of Silent Unity. So I want to share that with you to let you know that we're in good hands. And that when we come together, you know, and as we were leaving, Suzanne, the development officer, hadn't shared that much. And she said, you know, I just want to really thank your congregation for all the gifts you give us. And I don't know if you all know, but we tithe, of course, as a church regularly. So whatever you give to us, 10% goes out. We practice what we preach. And that 10% goes out to some of the Unity arms that feed us spiritually, and it also goes out to other wider kinds of places in the world that we find spiritually inspiring and feeding. And so this is that giving and receiving cycle, a key law in prosperity, the law of circulation, that which when we give, we shall receive. You know, there's always that flow happening. And so the third pillar, last week we talked about the second pillar, forgiveness, and the third pillar of prosperity is generosity. And so it is in this spirit of generosity that we practice the law of circulation in many ways. You may have heard some of these familiar sayings about the law of circulation, what goes around comes around, or what you put in, you get back. Maybe you've heard even the German philosopher Friedrich, how do you say his name? Nietzsche, thank you. Well, I looked it up and they said Nietzsche. I thought it was Nietzsche too. So anyway, that guy, the German philosopher some of you know, he said, be cautious when spitting in the wind. See, because the law works no matter what. Right? No matter what you're giving out, it comes back. You know, that's the beauty of laws. They're like, the spiritual laws are just like scientific laws. They work when you work them. You know, they just work no matter how you approach them. So, you know, you can cooperate with the law of gravity and you can stay firm on the earth, or you can choose not to cooperate and suffer the consequences, right? And so it is with all of our principles. We can choose how we work them, but the laws just work because they are laws. They're impersonal in other words. So we get to choose how we work that law. So, you know, the physician Luke once said, "Give and it will be given to you. Pressed down, shaken together, pouring over, running into your lap." That the promise of blessings is a part of being the spiritual being that we are on the earth, right? So if we are spirit on earth, which we understand that we are, then generosity is just so natural. Giving is so natural to us because we know we are whole and well, wealthy and healthy, that we have much to give, right? And so it's with ease that we give. And when we do, an overflowing blessing, pressed down, shaken together, pours over and falls right into our lap. Isn't that lovely? And yet we don't give to receive, do we? We give simply because it is our natural impulse to do so. Sometimes when we give out of that natural impulse, we also have that little, ooh. You ever have that? Like you gave it away and then you go, ooh. You brought that shirt to circulation day and now you're going, ah! Where's my fuchsia shirt? Piero Ferrucci, who wrote The Practice of Kindness, tells a story about his 4-year-old grandson and that experience, that moment of pause, where he gave his grandfather very freely one of his prized possessions, his little toy matchbox car. And so Piero, being a psychologist, understood this experience, right? So he just put it in his pocket. And he said thank you to his grandson. And then he watched as his grandson went into panic mode. Right? The car is no longer visible. Now it's in granddad's pocket. I've given it away, like permanently given it away, right? And there was panic. But instead of fixing it, and pulling it out and giving it to the child, and you know, he just rode the wave with him. And so his grandson, he says, rode the wave of panic. And then he came to a place of peace and he said, "You can keep it, Grandpa." And he ran away and went and played. And so if we can use that lesson for ourselves when we have that moment, because I think it's a primal kind of instinctual feeling that there's not enough. You know, one of those scarcity myths that maybe there really isn't enough. Despite everything we say and hear and we talk about and we practice over and over again, don't we all sort of feel that little bit of, oh, what if there's not enough? What if I should be doing a mad scramble for my survival? Because it is a lot of how the world works, right? On these scarcity myths, we have all sort of agreed that there's not enough, more is better, and that's just the way it is. Those are Lynn Twist's scarcity myths out of the book, The Soul of Money. But a lot of us operate on those unconsciously, even if we are conscious of spiritual principles. So then we can be aware of those moments of pause and, you know, I let it go and now I want it back, a sense of loss. And we can move through it to say, I give of it freely, just like the little boy did. So those may be some things that we trip up along the way in our giving, but we're still committed to the giving, aren't we? We're still committed to being generous beings because, you know, when we are generous, don't you feel wealthy when you're generous? I do. I always feel like really wealthy when I give. Of my time, I feel like I have more time. When I give to spirit of my time, when I sit in meditation or prayer, the day goes more smoothly. Even if I think I have a zillion things to do, those zillion things get done in a much more smooth and joyful way. Did you ever notice that? It's like prayer and meditation multiplies time. And so too does it in all the ways that we give. As we give of our gifts, our tithes of our time, our tithes of our service, our tithes of our treasure, our tithes of our income. It's all sort of make-believe anyway. You know, we all made up the idea of Kronos time. We all made up the idea of money. And then we all freak out about it. And they're made up constructs. We move around the idea of money and all these accounts. It's just an idea. One we all just decided we'd make up. But back in the day, we just traded services. You know? And some of us do that now. Just traded. We give somebody a luscious peach from the farmer's market and they give us some words of advice. You know, or whatever it is that we decide is a giving to that person. You know, not just, we don't live just the golden rule of treating others as we want to be treated, but the platinum rule. Have you heard of that one? Where we treat others as they wish to be treated. Yeah. I was so proud, you know, I'm going to use that word proud, and I don't mean that from an ego stand. Well, I don't care how I mean it. I felt proud. I'm not going to explain that one away. Anyway, our dignitaries from Unity were leaving Friday morning, and they asked if they could find had a place to change because they were going to be traveling. And I brought them over to the bathrooms. And I have to say, I was proud when I said, we have a gender non-specific bathroom as well as a women's bathroom. You know, because that's walking our talk. That's saying these are the things we value. So we value inclusivity. We value welcome. We say that everybody is an expression of God. And we are not the kind of movement that says, but it stops here. Or we box it in here. Or you're left outside of God's love. That's not who we are. And so it's not a platitude. It's a living embracing. It's a walking the talk. Right? And where we find the edges within ourselves of our own prejudices, we know that that's our work to do. That's generosity. That's a generosity to spirit, a generosity to ourselves, and a generosity to all beings with whom we share this earth. That's the kind of prosperity that we're working with. It's a giving unto others that says, we are in this together, and I've got your back. And I know that you've got mine. Isn't it fun to give spontaneously? You know, so many of us, I know, at least I do, and maybe you do too, I sometimes think really nice things about people, but I don't always say them. Do you ever do that? I don't know why we do that. I guess it's a kind of vulnerability thing or something. You know, like if we're standing in an elevator with a perfect stranger and we think something really nice about them, you know, it seems maybe odd to say something, especially in the elevator kind of thing where you're both standing and looking at the buttons, you know. But even just with people we know, sometimes it doesn't come out so spontaneously like a child gives in the moment. But I witnessed that in our class the other night. Ted and Deborah and I were in a triad, and we were talking about something else. And Ted just all of a sudden looks at me and is speaking of Deborah, and he goes, "Isn't she pretty?" And it was so beautiful and so spontaneous and so genuine. And so when we feel those things, why not just express them? You know, without the strings attached to it, with how it's going to be received and all that stuff. Because if we're living and breathing generosity, do you think spirit worries about how we're going to receive? Do you think the laws of the universe care? I mean, that sounds callous, but there's a sense of it just works. And so we can participate with that principle and work it by just continuing to give of our hearts, to lead with our hearts, our open hearts. So giving spontaneously, giving genuinely, giving with good humor. Shel Silverstein, the poet, gives us this idea. Draw a crazy picture, he says. Write a nutty poem. Sing a gumble song. Whistle through your comb. That sounds fun. Do a loony goony dance across the kitchen floor. Something silly. Put it in the world that hasn't been there before. So giving the world a gift of laughter or joy in any way, just being silly, is another way that we can practice our generosity. Because you know when we laugh, you know, it's like, you know about all the benefits of like all the massaging of the organs and all that, but also the breaking up of the energy. And did you ever recognize that when you are in a moment of laughter, you are completely in the now? You aren't thinking about anything that's coming next or came before. In that moment, you are simply in the joy of laughter. So you give somebody the gift of being in the now and being in joy when you share in this humorous way as well. And we can also give in really extraordinary ways. All of us ordinary peeps can give in really extraordinary ways. It just takes breaking through some of the conventional ideas of how things work. Like, for example, we always think of team sports as competitive, right? It's part of the fun, right? It's the competition is part of the fun. It drives us to our best. And yet, sometimes it doesn't have to be so competitive. It can just be a joyful kind of sharing. So there's a story that I heard of that it's happened in 2009. This young woman, Sarah, was a college softball player, and she played for Western Oregon. And they were playing West Central Washington. And the two teams were in the championship together, and it was Sarah's senior year. She had never in her career of softball hit a home run. And on this day, during this championship game, she hit a home run, 5-2. She said she always just hit line drive. She wasn't a power hitter, but she hit it over the fence that day. So you can imagine what joy for her to experience that for the first time as her career was kind of coming to an end. But there was a problem because as she rounded first, she realized she missed first base. And so she turned around really quickly to go back and tag first, and she tore her ACL. And then she was hugging first base in all this pain, and she couldn't move. And so there's this sort of suspension on the field. What's going to happen? The umpire, the coaches, the two teams, nobody knows what to do. She hit it over the fence. She should have a home run, but she's hugging first base, and she can't move. So let's watch the rest of the story on video. When we live the vision of our lives, when we live the vision of spirit, we see past the usual ways of doing things to the most powerful ways in which we all win. And that's obviously what those girls did that day. It's through that spirit of generosity that they gave up their win so that everybody could win. And so that kind of giving, you know, that kind of essence of giving is what we're really about. We give to each other personally, but we also give in a universal way because we're all in it together and we all have the same basic ideas about our needs and our wants and our prosperity. We all have that sort of instinctual, when we, you know, give something away and then we're not sure at times, not all of us all the time. Some of us some of the time. And so ways of giving that are out of the ordinary and ways of giving that are so simple, available to us all the time, are both part of the practice. It's part of working this aspect of prosperity that is generosity. So when we give, it's important to consider, what are we giving from? You know, are we giving out of obligation? Did you ever get invited to a party? It's a birthday party, so you feel this sort of cultural obligation. I have to go get a gift. And sometimes we want to, and sometimes we've got the perfect thing for somebody, but sometimes we just do it out of duty. That's not the kind of giving that's really that fun, flowy, prosperous generosity, is it? And so as much as we can, we want to align ourselves with that kind of giving. The kind of giving that flows from our open hearts and is that sharing of the joy of the gift that has been given. After 9/11, there was a tribe in South Kenya that didn't learn of what happened until 7 or 8 months later because of the way that their culture is. They weren't plugged in. And because their culture is so different, they didn't really understand necessarily. They'd never been to New York City, or they didn't know the specifics of what had happened. But what they did know was some kind of catastrophe happened in New York City that especially affected the people of New York City. And so in their own way as a tribe, they got together in all their ceremonial garb, and they sat together in council and talked about what would be the best way to respond to this catastrophe. And they looked around at their most prized possessions, and they decided that sending the 16 cows they had would be the greatest gift that they could give the people of New York City. People gave their food supply in solidarity with people they'd never met across the world, because it's natural to give. It's natural to want to share in our generosity. It's our natural impulse. And so as we practice this week, let's find the places where we sort of get into the ebb and ride the wave of that panic or feeling of not enough or grasping, and instead give anyway. Give out of the joy of giving that is natural for us. We don't give to receive, but oh, do we receive when we give. Isn't that true? And so if you are one of those people that says, I'm a good giver, but I'm not a good receiver, I really want to suggest to you to revisit that. That's like a river giving freely to the ocean and turning around to the mountain and saying, no thanks, I don't want any more water. So what happens, right? What we have to give dries up. Because it is meant to be a cycle. Spirit needs us, right? Why were we created? So spirit could know itself, right? It was just all oneness. Oneness doesn't know itself unless it can look at itself, right? And so here we are in dual form. Here we are the form of human, so that we can be the givers of the divine to all these faces of God and all this diverse expression of God. This is a great gift that we have, this life. Don't you want to share it on every level? So this week, I urge all of us to practice generosity. I mean, no holds barred generosity. Beyond the conventional ways of our society, in small and large ways, give freely and see how that overflowing blessing comes in. But don't give for it. Just open yourself to receive, because it's coming too. God bless you.